We come to hear from God's word. Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 2, 1 to 10? That can be found on page 1033. Hebrews 2, 1 to 10. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered."
The next reading is Psalm 8. This is a great passage and reflects that first reading. So page 465. For the director of music, according to Gittith, a psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thanks be. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Alison. Welcome to church. My name is Andrew, one of the pastors here. It's great to have you here this morning. And it's a long weekend, so we're taking a break, and I get to pick what I preach on this weekend, so that's pretty cool. I pick Psalm 8, so let's pray together before we look at this psalm. God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Open our eyes now to see your glory and to praise and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not sure if you saw this in the news this past week. This is Tilly Norwood. Tilly Norwood is Hollywood's latest obsession. She is the up-and-coming star in Hollywood. Apparently, studio executives everywhere are whispering her name. They're calling her the next Scarlett Johansson. She is going to be a big deal. She's already been in comedy movies and rom-coms and thrillers and action. She is a very versatile actor. But here's the thing. She's not real. Tilly is an AI actor. Now, she's got her own Instagram. She shares her thoughts, she shares her feelings to her thousands of followers. There's show reels that are being sent to lots of different movie studios. And because she's AI, she's flawless. Unlike the other actors that have a bad hair day or bad lighting, she's always good. Unlike the other actors that get old and have to have all of that plastic surgery that so many actors seem to have, not Tilly. She won't need that. Unlike the other actors that might get snapped by the paparazzi having a bad day, not looking their best. Not Tilly. She doesn't run that risk at all. But it raises the question, what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be human? Is there anything different, the real actors are asking, is there anything different between Tilly and George Clooney, Brad Pitt, you know, Scarlett Johansson, the actors that we know as real people? What is it that makes humans special? What makes us different than AI? What makes us different than animals? What does it mean to be a human? What's our purpose? Now, that's the same question Psalm 8 asks. You can see it there in verse 4. What is mankind? What does it mean to be a human? It's the big question we've all got to ask. Why are we here? And that's Psalm 8. We're going to look at this psalm and answer that question. And it's interesting, the way the psalm starts, if you want to understand what it means to be a human, you actually don't start with looking at yourself. You start with looking at God. You don't start looking for meaning by looking within. You look up. That's our first point. The glory of God. The glory of God. Look at how the psalm starts. It says it's for the director of music, which means it's a song. It's a song that was sung that you can sing. And it starts, verse 1, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You notice the psalm ends the exact same way. Jump down to verse 9. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is a psalm of praise. This is a psalm of worship. David talks about how God is majestic. He's glorious. He's creative. He's beautiful. He's powerful. He's wonderful. And David says he sees God's glory in all the earth. I wonder, when you look around the world, you look at the trees and the birds and the sky, are your eyes open to go, wow, God, I see your glory. How majestic are you? He sees God's glory in all the earth, but he also sees God's glory, it says, in the heavens. You ever gone out into the night to do some stargazing? And especially if you head out of the country, go away from the light pollution, and you look up, and it takes your breath away. Now, David, he's in the Middle Eastern desert thousands of years ago. Imagine what he saw. And he's looking at it all, and he's going, God, wow. How majestic is your name? I'm seeing your glory now on display. It's been said that the world is charged with the grandeur of God. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. Everywhere we look, the earth, the heavens, we are seeing how glorious God is. And then he goes on to talk more about God's glory, but he says this really strange thing. Look at the next verse, verse 2. Through the praise of infants, children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Now, why on earth has he gone from talking about something as amazing as God's glory in the earth and God's glory in the heavens, to start talking about kids? There's a bunch of kids here this morning listening to me preach. What is? Why is he starting to talk about kids? He's saying that as children and infants praise God, their praise is silencing the enemies of God. As kids in kids' church now say amen or sing songs, the devil is threatened. What does that mean? Well, God has always worked in weakness. He always has. God loves to show his power through weak people. You ever felt weak? That's when God loves to work, because it shows everyone he is the strong one. He's the glorious one. You think about Jesus dying on the cross. That's a weak moment. Dying. And yet that was the moment God was saving the world. God works through weakness. And so this psalm says that as little kids praise God, it is displaying to the enemies that God is winning. Those of you who are parents, as you're seeking to raise your kids as followers of Jesus, this is the work you're doing. You are raising up worshipers whose praise of God silences the enemies. David goes on, verse 3. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place. When we do hard work, we say something like, put your back into it. Put your back into it. It's back-breaking work. It's work that takes all of our energy. But we don't normally associate hard work with fingers, do we? We use our fingers to scroll on our mobile phones, social media. It's not really hard work. It's why if someone's lazy, we say they barely lifted a finger, right? David's looking at the heavens. He's looking at it all. And he goes, God, this was easy for you. You barely had to lift a finger to do this. This was the work of your fingers. This is your creative artwork. And this was easy for you. You are that glorious. Is that the vision you have of God? How majestic is your name, God, in all the earth? Point number two, we move from the glory of God to the glory of humans. See, David, as he's looking at God and looking at his majesty, he begins to feel this strange feeling. He begins to feel a bit uncomfortable. Verse 3, let's read it again, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You ever, kids, this is a question for you too. You ever gone onto Google Street View or the satellite view and you zoom all the way out to when you're in space? You done this before? And you look at the world from space and you start to zoom in and you find your continent. You can't really see yourself at that point, can you? You zoom in a little bit more. You find your state. Still can't see yourself, can you? Zoom in, you find your suburb. You zoom in, you find your street. You zoom in and you find your house. And you go, well, I'm in there somewhere. That's how small you are. Itty bitty little you, me. When you think about the universe, we're tiny. I mean, we only live for about 100 years and then we're gone. And here we have the eternal God, all powerful, almighty, And so David goes, God, who am I? Itty bitty me, that you care about me. What are humans that you even pay us attention? I mean, you're so busy, God, running the world. You made everything. Why do you care about my assignment that's due tomorrow? Or my back pain? Or surely you're kind of busy with other things. Who am I? What is humankind that you even notice us? Now, if you live in a world without God, then that question, the answer really is, well, yeah, why should anyone care about you? After all, the world is a cosmic accident. You're a cosmic accident. You're just a collection of atoms and DNA. And so, yeah, why do you really matter in the scheme of the world? Why do you really matter? There's no God. But when David asks this question, who am I? He's actually not wanting you to feel depressed. He's wanting you to feel humble. Because he knows that actually God does care. He's humbled that even though he is so small and God is so big, God still cares. He is still mindful of us. He knows the very number of hairs on our head. And actually, as Christians, we know he not only notices us, but he loved us so much he gave up his son for us. Even when we were sinners, even when we had rebelled against him, you'd think that'd be the final straw. God said, okay, you're just a tiny, itty-bitty little human, and now you've decided you want nothing to do with me. Surely that was the moment he gives up on humans. And yet even then, he gives up his son for us to save us. And so what David's saying here, we should say, who am I? Because actually, we're nothing. We're saved only because of God's love and God's mercy. Every Christian actually should have this humble posture. Who am I, God, that you would notice me? Who am I, God, that you would love me? Who am I, God, that you would save me? See, God does care for humanity. Look at what he says, verse 5, the next verse. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Let me say something that's pretty controversial. You are more important than your pet. I know we live in a world which is obsessed with pets. I know a few shocked faces here. I know, you know, you can now take your dogs on planes and you go to Bunnings and there's more dogs there than there are humans. But humans, we are greater than the animals. We are. Verse 5 says that we have been made a little lower than the angels. And we've been crowned, given a crown of glory and honor. We are important because we're made by God and loved by God and made in his image to be like him. And this is true for every human, regardless of someone's ethnic background, crowned with glory and honor. Regardless of someone's sexuality, crowned with glory and honor, mattered to God. If someone's not yet born, a baby in the womb, glory and honor and dignity. if someone is in their final years of life, perhaps suffering with dementia, unable to communicate, but still glory and honour. All people made by God and loved by God. And we're given an important task, verse 6. David says, "You made them rulers over the works of your hand. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas." This is like the Garden of Eden, where God made humans and gave them a job description. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the animals and the world, care for it, be God's representatives, looking after the world, ruling over it. And we do that as we in our jobs, as we cultivate the earth. We do that as human beings, as we care for each other and care for the creation. We are fulfilling that mandate of being God's loving rulers of the world, reporting to Him. He's the ultimate ruler and the God who holds all things together. And yet we have been given, delegated, we've been delegated authority because we are human. But I don't know about you, but maybe as you're hearing me talk, you're thinking, well, how can this be true, that humans are this special? How can this be true? I mean, have you seen the human race? Are humans doing that well at looking after the animals, looking after the created world? We have a pretty bad track record there. Are we doing that well at caring for each other and treating each other with dignity and honour? No, we're not doing very good at that at all. Clearly, this cannot be completely about us. I mean, we're still glorious. We've still got a crown. But because of sin, we clearly don't perfectly do this. That's exactly what Hebrews 2 says. Hebrews 2, we heard read in our first reading. I think it's on the screen. The writer to the Hebrews, he quotes Psalm 8. He quotes Psalm 8. And he reads Psalm 8 and he says, "There's some place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you're mindful of them? A son of man that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet.' In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them." See what he's saying? He's reading Psalm 8, the writer of the Hebrews, and he's going, "Well, we're not really seeing this fulfilled, are we? We're not really seeing humans ruling over the world. I mean, any of you been bitten by a mosquito? We're not really doing that well at controlling the animals. If you see a shark, swim the other way. We haven't worked out how to totally rule over them. There's danger. Drop bears, you know, you name it." And so the writer of the Hebrews goes, there's got to be something else that Psalm 8 is about. Look at the next verse, verse 9, Jason, if we can flick to Hebrews 2, verse 9. He says, "But we do see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he may taste death for everyone." See, you and I are not Psalm 8 perfectly, but Jesus is. Jesus is the perfect human. Jesus was made lower than the angels for a little while. Jesus became a man. Could there be anything more that gives dignity to humanity than that God would become a human? And as Jesus walked into Jerusalem, went in on a donkey into Jerusalem, in Matthew 21, people were crying out to him, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" And you know what happens? The chief priests and the teachers, they're annoyed. They come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, can you hear what's going on here? There's people praising you, Jesus. You've got to do something about this." And Jesus quotes Psalm 8. He says, "Haven't you read Psalm 8? From the lips of infants, you've ordained praise. They're praising me. I'm God's king." Jesus lived the perfect life, the perfect human, never sinned. And yet then he died on a cross. The only human that's ever lived that does not deserve to die dies in our place. He takes our sin on his shoulders and is punished for us. And then he's exalted. He rises again from the dead. And just like Psalm 8 says that humans are crowned with glory and honor, Jesus is on the throne. He's resurrected and he is wearing a perfect crown. Glory and honor. All things are under his feet. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the king. He's the perfect human in his life. He's the perfect human in his death. And he's the perfect human on the throne, ruling and reigning for all eternity. Psalm 8 is all about Jesus. And so today we should read Psalm 8 and make it our song. It's a song of praise. We praise God because he is so majestic. How majestic is your name? We praise God because he made us. He made humans. And how incredible are humans? Our abilities and our gifts, we are better than AI-generated people. We have dignity and honor. And we praise God that he sent the perfect human, Jesus, who died and rose again. And we ask that we become more like him, the perfect human, the Son of God. I'm going to invite the band up, and what I'm going to give you some time to do is I'd love you to just quietly reflect on this psalm. I'm going to give you a minute to just read through this psalm. You might want to pray to God. You might want to praise him. You might want to meditate on some of these words. Why don't you take a moment to just consider? I love that word, when I consider, verse 3. Why don't you take a moment to just consider what God is saying to you from this psalm? And then in a moment, we're going to take communion and sing. I'll give you a moment now quietly to read Psalm 8. Let's pray. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We thank you that you are mindful of us. Who are we, God, that you would care for us, that you would die for us? We thank you for Jesus, for his perfect life. Lord, make us more like him. Amen. We're about to take part in the Lord's Supper. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Before we take part in the Lord's Supper, it's only right that we confess our sins before God. I'm going to pray this prayer of confession on the screen. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you as we should and serve you as we ought. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God is mindful of you. He knows you, he loves you. And more than that, he gave his son for you so that you could be forgiven. If you prayed that prayer, you have the confidence that you are a child of God, loved by the majestic creator of the world. So in a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. As we sing, some bread and juice is going to come round. All the bread is gluten-free. Please hold on to it. We'll take part in the Lord's Supper together after this song. This is a meal for anyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't yet call yourself a follower of Jesus, welcome. Just let it pass you by, and we look forward to the day you can take part in that meal with us together. Let's stand and let's praise God.